The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting to read at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For when we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It'd be great if you have a Bible of your own to turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you've got the service sheet, it has at least part of 1 Corinthians 12 on it that we're going to look at. It is, I think, slightly frustrating that we haven't got church Bibles, because it does make it hard to see context and dip back into the Old Testament, but there you are. I would encourage you, if you can, to bring a Bible, but there you are. We are where we are. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness and grace to us. And we pray now, as we think of this wonderful idea, this wonderful truth, that Trinity Church is the body of Christ, that you'd help us to understand and to respond rightly in the midst of these strange times. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory and for the building up of his body, and in his name. Amen. Well, last week, David, in his sermon, encouraged us to think about how we think about when we meet together, what we're like, what we treat it as. And he gave the idea of saying, do we treat the meetings of Trinity Church like going to the cinema? In other words, we sit back and wait to be entertained. And there's no real interaction between you and the others who come. Now, let me say straight away, I'll come on to this, that, of course, the way we're having to do things at the moment can help reinforce that wrong attitude or thinking. You know, do we treat our meeting a bit like a restaurant, you know, where we expect to be fed, hopefully good food, let me say, but we don't expect to feed others and to build them up and strengthen them? Now, as I said, the virus and having church online have sadly, I think, made it easier to slip into that kind of wrong thinking and wrong action. You know, the whole experience of doing church online can reinforce the idea of cinema. We're looking at a screen all the time, and I'm watching, and I watch and hear what I want to watch and hear. I mean, which of us, when we were online, did not at some point turn off and come back to it later? We can determine when we do things. Now, don't get me wrong, there are advantages in that at times, you know, if something happens or whatever. And sadly, the rules too can reinforce wrong thinking when we do meet. You know, it is frustrating that we can't sing. On both occasions in that song, I've started singing. I just, you know, naturally we want to sing, don't we? We can't sing to be built up in Christ, to build others up in Christ. Though it's great, I do think it's good for us to do the actions and to all kinds of things like that, which remind us what we're about. That social distancing, it is odd looking out at you like this. It is odd. Multiple services. Oh, there's nothing wrong with multiple services. We've done that before at Trinity. But of course, multiple services with so few. And the fact that at the end, we can't linger to talk and encourage each other. I think one of the greatest strengths of Trinity, and Trinity has been better than any church that I've known, was the length of time people would stay behind afterwards. And the majority of people would say, in fact, it was difficult to leave Trinity, actually, straight away. And overnight, that has gone. Though I think the strength of that is actually feeding into other ways of looking after each other. But you know what I mean. You see, all that kind of reinforces the idea of church being like the cinema or the restaurant. And I think we need to be honest that we all need to stop thinking in an individualistic way. It's the great weakness of much of our lives. We need to think corporately. So God's own being is made up of a community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God who is Trinity made human beings to live in community with others. Of course, he created us as individuals with personalities and unique personalities and characters. But all through the Bible, the great storyline of the Bible is that God is saving a people for himself, a community. Through Jesus' sin-bearing death, sinners like you and me, drawn from all nations, are reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. And as we've been working through these different set of sermons, this different kind of pictures in this series of sermons, you know, all the pictures of church deliberately work against that individualism that kind of permeates so much of our thinking and actions. We're the family of God. And then a few weeks ago, we're living stones being built together into a spiritual house. And today we think about Trinity Church as the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes about the local church in Corinth, verse 12 of chapter 12. The body is a unit. Literally, the body is one. That's what it says. Literally, the body is one, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now, if you have a Bible, you can glance back to what's gone before very briefly. Paul's writing to correct the church in Corinth. This is corrective teaching. They have many gifts. They had many gifts. But they'd elevated one gift above others, and at Corinth it seems that this gift was being regarded as the measure of true spiritual life. So if you had that particular gift that showed you were a proper Christian, and that led to some Christians looking down on others and treating other Christians poorly, so parts of the church were made to feel inferior or second-rate, or useless. And so the church at Corinth was not functioning as it should. So we want to let this passage teach us here at Trinity how the church, the body of Christ, should function well. And my first point is very straightforward. God unites us in one body with many different parts, verses 12 and 13. God unites us in one body with many different parts. The word one actually occurs five times in the original of those verses. You see, Paul wants to emphasize that God unites us in one body, no matter how different we are. Now, we're one body because all Christians are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Look at Paul's reason in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, you see, whatever your background, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, some argue that the phrase baptized describes a second experience after conversion. I think that is correct. Incorrect. I think that is incorrect. There's no doubt what it means in the context here. Because you see, Paul writes to a divided church where some thought were proper Christians and others were second-rate Christians because of a particular gift that they had. But note the clear emphasis here. We were all baptized. We were all given one Spirit to drink. And that happens when you and I become a Christian and the Spirit comes to live in us. We are immersed, baptized in the Spirit. We all drink of one Spirit. So no particular gift or work of service marks anyone out as truly Christian. We're all Christians because we are all converted and baptized by the one Spirit. And earlier in chapter 12, right at the start, he says that the other great mark of the Spirit's work is that we all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whoever you are, Jew, Greek, slave, free, from any nation, any background, we are all Christians together. And notice that the local church is Christ's body. Do you notice the surprise in verse 12? Did you notice it as we looked at it? Just look at it again. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with... Now, what would you expect to come there? The church, the word church, so it is with the church. No, do you notice this? So it is with Christ. So the church does not just act like a body. In a very real sense, the church is the body of Christ. We are the visible and physical presence of Jesus Christ here on earth. So this church is not just like a body, it is the body of Christ. Now, of course we are part of the universal worldwide church and part of the heavenly church as well. But membership in the universal church must become visible in a local gathering of Christians. And every local gathering can rightly be called the body of Christ. So Trinity Church is the body of Christ. There's lots of other bodies of Christ that are meeting. That's great theology, teaching to explore. But I just want us to think about, do we really think like that? Does it kind of register in our actions as we're going to think about now? You see, here in person, or if we are online and have to continue online or go back to being online, we don't just share something in common. This is not like the golf club. It's not like the book group where we have an interest in common and we come together. Together, we are the body of Christ. That is Trinity Church. And unity in this body is God's gift in converting us all. We have the one Spirit. We've drunk of the one Spirit. So it really matters how we treat each other. We're going to come to this now. How we love and accept one another as brothers and sisters, as we reminded in Romans 14. So God unites us in one body, and note the other emphasis in these verses, with many parts. So Paul describes how each Christian is a different part of the body, an eye, an arm, a foot, and so on. And we all have a God-given part to play. So my second point is this. You've got a God-given part in building up the body. Don't think I'm not needed. Verses 14 to 20. Now, in Corinth, some Christians were being made to feel inferior or of no use, not proper Christians because they didn't have particular gifts, not really part of the body that was Corinth, the Corinthian church. Now, look with me at verse 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Therefore, that's the sense, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. So the problem is the feeling that because you're not like some other Christian, you feel kind of inferior or useless, or you don't think really that you're part of the body, you don't think you've got a God-given part to play. But, I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? Because Paul exposes, we can see it straight away, actually, in the body imagery. Paul exposes how ridiculous that thinking is. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. See, every part of the body has its own function, its part to play, its unique contribution to make. So every single person in this church, this body of Christ, has a God-given part in building up the body. Let me say, if we're meeting in person, or as I said at the first service to those who are tuning in online, and of course, that body life goes on, not just in our meetings, which are very significant, but also through the week. We don't cease to be a body during the week. Now look how he develops the argument in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I think he deliberately picks a grotesque image. Yeah, imagine the body all being eye. It'd be horrible. It'd be like something from a horror film. And of course, the body would be useless. It wouldn't be a body. Verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So God has united us in the body of Christ, that is Trinity, and God has placed you in the body of Christ, that is Trinity, and has given you a role to play, a part to play. And he's arranged it so that it works well. So whoever you are, here, online, when you have to be online, we might all have to go back to being online, we don't know. You are most definitely needed. And in fact, as we come together, the other people sitting around you and you know, or online depend on you to serve, to use your gifts, your God-given gifts. You see, we need each other's God-given gifts and the God-given works of service. Don't get too fixated on just gifts, because the Spirit inspires works of service, as come up actually in the earlier verses, which we haven't looked at. We need each other's gifts and works of service for the body of Christ to function properly. You're needed, and you have a vital part to play, a God-given part to play. But then, thirdly, you're to love and serve the weaker parts. Don't think they're not needed, or I'm not interested in them, or whatever, or they're not important. So Paul addresses another failing of the Corinthian church, what some have called the sense of superiority. So verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, again, you know, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's so easy to see how foolish that kind of thinking is with the body imagery. Because every part of the body is dependent on another and needs the other. That's how God has created this body. We need each other. In person and online. Now, during the week. Again, you see, body life doesn't cease when Sunday stops. And let me say it's particularly true with parts of the body that outwardly seem weaker. Just look at verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, what a challenging verse that is. Do you and I have an equal concern for all the members of Trinity? Or are there some that we actually favor more than others? Or we think are more important or more significant, and therefore we judge them differently? Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, if you're the body of Christ, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's beautiful. It's so easy in one sense to pick up. It's a very simple picture. We're all interconnected. When your toe hurts, the rest of your body knows about it. So think of yourself united to others, that what happens to them happens to you. If one part suffers or one part rejoices, the other part suffers and rejoices. And let me say that down the years at Trinity, we have mourned and rejoiced together, I think, as a church. But we need to heed this, don't we? We need to repent of thinking wrongly about the body. The challenge here to love and to serve what we might think are the weaker parts. It is easy to ignore the people who are not like us, or we think are time-consuming and demanding. Or the temptation is actually to reduce the number of people we need to think, you know, about or we bother about. Now let's watch out for that kind of sickness in our thinking and actions. We're to love and to serve each other, particular honor to what might be called the weaker parts of the body. And that's what builds up the body of Christ that is Trinity. Now this teaching comes in three chapters, which are all about gifts and how to exercise them and how to serve. But I always like to say this when we think about this kind of thing. We first need to have the right attitude and ask the right questions before identifying what particular gifts are. And you'll see what I'm going to say in a moment. We need to have the right approach to the body as it meets. And when we meet each other during the week or in our small groups. One question, those of you who've been with me here for many years will know what's coming. What can I do or say that will build up this Christian or this group of Christians to trust and serve Christ and grow like him? So all the time when you meet Christians, whether in the meeting or in the small group or one-to-one, what can I do or say that will build this Christian or group of Christians up to trust and to serve Christ and grow like him? So we have the attitude all the time, and we get serving. Whatever you decide you've got to do or say to build up this Christian or this group of Christians, this body, as you get on, you will find what your God-given gift is, or ministry is, your area of service. Now let me illustrate this with a couple of one another's. There are a whole load of commands that apply to every Christian. There are a whole range of things that all Christians are called to do to build up the body, the one another's. And I love to focus on them. Encourage one another, teach one another, bear one another's burdens, could go on. They're commands to all Christians. They're standing commands to all Christians. So we do them and we build up the body. Now, as we do that, we discover, and individuals discover, they have a particular gifting or area of service. So think about encouraging. We're all called to encourage each other. So as we leave at the end in our few minutes that we're allowed, let's make a big effort to encourage one another to keep loving and serving Christ. What can I do or say to build up this person? 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. Now, as we all do that, we discover that there are people who God has given a particular gift of encouraging to. I can see one or two here meeting in this meeting. And whenever you speak to them, you always go away, if I could say this, really encouraged, hyper encouraged. So you get the attitude and the action right and you discover your God-given ministry. Get on and serve in all the ways that the Bible tells us to do to one another. Think about teaching one another. So last week we heard, David pointed out Colossians 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, this is to all of us, the whole church, as you teach and admonish one another. So all of us have a responsibility to teach one another. Now, let me just say that you can do that by saying, I'd just like to share with you something I learned from my Bible reading about God. You don't have to say, I'm going to teach you now. But share. Share. Hasn't God been good? This is a wonderful verse I've been carrying with me. I've been letting it dwell in me richly. Now, of course, that also happens in our small groups. We're teaching one another. It happens informally, one-to-one. What can I do or say to build up this person or this group of Christians to love and to trust and to serve Jesus and to grow like him? But as you do that, someone discovers, you see, that God has given them a specific gift of teaching. You see, get the attitude right. Get serving in whatever way Scripture commands, and you find a God-given ministry. Now, we need people to help with Trinity Kids. And to start with, it might just be helping a leader, getting involved, coming and helping, whatever. Nearly every one of us can help. And that might be a way that you discover a gift for teaching young people. We need people to do that. We need people to pray and to read the Scriptures when we do meet together. We're struggling, actually, to fill each week. And we can teach and train how to lead prayers. Give it a go. Give it a go if you haven't done it. I know that some people don't feel they can. We need stewards for our service. We need cleaners. We need lots of cleaners for a variety of reasons. But you see, have the right attitude. What can I do? Yeah, I can do that. What can I do to build up this body? This body, to trust love. And it might seem, well, we'll come to that in a moment. But you see, get the attitude right and get on and serve. And you discover God-given gifts and works of service. Maybe there are people who have a particular gifting in cleaning, let me say. I don't, but I do it. But somebody might say, but that's not terribly exciting, is it? That isn't terribly impressive. That isn't very important. I'm not really satisfied. I'm not fulfilled in that. But you see, church is not about me. It's about building others up. Do we serve to look impressive? To satisfy ourselves? You see, it's very easy to slip into a Corinthian attitude where one gift or area of service becomes more important than others. We think of ourselves as more important than others in the body. See? So we all have a God-given part to play in serving and building up the body of right. But I just want to keep saying, we've got to have the attitude right. What can I do or say to build up the body? And get on and serve, whatever that might be. And that frees us, I think, from two possible dangers, faults. There are advantages in being on a rota. Don't get me wrong. They can actually free us up in all kinds of ways. But the danger of us having a rota mentality is we think we've done our bit. But our serving and building up the body can't be confined, can it, just to a rota? We're the body of Christ. Our serving goes on all the time. If you meet somebody during the week who's suffering, you don't say, I'm afraid I'm not on the rota for helping people who are suffering, and I only do that on Sundays. You know? So we, you know, and actually we have so much of this, praise God, that goes on so wonderfully at Trinity. If I'm not teaching, I don't look down on other responsibilities and say, well, I couldn't possibly clean or put out the chairs. What can I do or say at that moment to build up this body of Christ or this group of Christians or this Christian? And that attitude also stops another wrong way of thinking, I've done my bit, it's time for others to serve. And let me say, by all means, take a rest, but start serving again in some other way. Now, at the first service, I was talking a bit about, somebody might say, well, what about if we're online? How can we do this? And it's worth us just thinking about this, because we don't know. We might all go back to being online. We don't know what's going to happen. But you see, you can be meeting online and be building up the body of Christ. In the same way, actually, you can be meeting in person and not have the attitude of wanting to build others up. We just come and operate like a cinema or a petrol station, is the other analogy. We draw up on the forecourt, get filled up, off we go. Never interact with anybody. You see, you can be meeting online and be building up the body of Christ. So again, we check the attitude of our heart. Am I wanting to build up? Okay, it's going to be difficult. So I put some things down. We serve each other. See, being apart, this applies both ways to those who aren't with us or whatever, can make serving each other more difficult, but it forces us to be creative, doesn't it? Instead of meeting face to face, we pick up the phone, we send a text to encourage, we go for a walk to encourage someone else, we read and share God's word. Years ago, I remember visiting somebody who was having a difficult time, and on the mantelpiece was an encouraging card from an older Christian. This older Christian regularly did this, wrote to members of the church who were struggling. She would also give out Bible reading notes. Great ministry of encouragement that way. Well, we can all do that. If we're online, we can build up the body. We pray. Being separated by space does not limit building up others in prayer, does it? The Apostle Paul regularly was praying for people he couldn't see in person. Why not drop a line to people? You know, if you're here, drop a line to those who are online. If you're online, drop a line to people, you know, who are meeting in person, whatever, and say, what can I pray for you this week? And that can open up all kinds of ways of building up people up, can't it? Somebody says, well, I've got a terrible thing at work, really difficult person I work with. So you can pray for them and you can encourage them how they're going to act in a godly way, you see? We build each other up. What can I do or say to help this Christian, this group of Christians, to love and to serve and to care for the body of Christ, to grow like the body of Christ that is Trinity? And I say, praise God that so much building up of the body of Christ goes on. Praise God. May it happen more and more. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, please help us to let this word dwell in us richly through this coming week. Please help us as we seek to teach and encourage one another, maybe as we have to admonish one another. Please help us to reflect on what it means that Trinity Church is the body of Christ, along with many other local churches all through this land and throughout the world. Part of the universal church. Please help us to reflect on our part in this body, how we can build up others. Please help us to have the right attitude, to get on and serve, and then to discover the gifts that you've given us, the areas of ministry, the works of service. Father, please help us to do that more and more so that the body of Christ, that is Trinity, may be built up and we become the church that you want us to be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.